Many questions have accumulated.
So
questions. Itzik, yes? Questions from the women, right?
Please.
So please.
Later during the lesson? Okay.
So, as usual, we'll begin from the article in the writings of Rabash, first volume, page 631, second column, beginning with and in that. We remind you, you can ask questions at cub.tv, and selected questions will be live. So, what does it mean, the shepherd is the entire nation? Beginning with this. By this we should explain what Rabbi Shimon said. Happy is the share of Israel that a loyal shepherd such as Moses is within them. Which means that the people of Israel have within them the aspect of faith called Moshe, the loyal shepherd. Because then, as they have faith, they already have the strength to engage in the Torah and Mitzvot, meaning that in every person there is the aspect of faith in the Creator, which is called Moshe, Moses, the loyal shepherd. Then the whole nation, the whole people would be righteous, meaning all of man's organs, meaning the thoughts and the desires of the person are called organs, and this is called nation. And this is the explanation of what is written, and he remembered the days of the world. That is the Creator. Moshe Imo, Moshe with him, or Moshe Amo, Moshe his people. Because Moshe was equivalent to the whole of Israel. And we learn from this that the shepherd of the people is truly the entire nation. Because the faith that is in the person is the entire person. Meaning if one has the aspect of Moshe, called faith, then all the people are righteous. And this is as he says, that if he merited, then the whole people are righteous, because merited means that his shepherd is faith, called Moshe. And when he says that if he has not merited, then the entire nation do not merit and are punished for him. And we ask, it is known that if there is a righteous, then he protects the generation. And if there's no righteous, then we can say that there's none who can save the generation. But why are they punished for him? If he did not merit, how is that the generation's fault? And as we said, following the rule that Bala Sulam said, all the burdening, the heaviness in the work of the Lord is only a lack of faith. Because when one merits complete faith, he then yearns to be annulled before the Creator as a candle before the torch. And therefore, all of his organs, meaning his thoughts and his desires, go along with what the force of faith forces them to do, that they do. And therefore, when he says that if he merited, then all the organs are righteous, since when one has faith in the Lord, from that extend the thoughts and desires of the righteous. By this it becomes clear.
But it's clear that this force of faith can be acquired only upon the burdening of the heart, all the problems that Moshe went through. What is it called that he was educated in Pharaoh's home? He received everything that was in his step-grandfather, if you can say it in such a way, can you call it that way? Or that Batya would tempt him to all sorts of things for her benefit. But we're talking about the fact that he went through a special development, his ego. And he has a form of a very big ego, and it's called that the nation of Israel is tough-necked, or why are they called stiff-necked?
Because of the Pharaoh.
Because of the Pharaoh that's inside of them, yes. That it's not in any other person. So if one is educated, this is called educated by Pharaoh. If he's educated and agrees to continue, wants to continue his path, then it's already, he can already come out to the discernment of Moshe, meaning you have to be a great big egoist. You have to be very close within himself, meaning within his ego. And whoever is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. So, also in Pharaoh's home, and also in Yitro's home, the things that one develops are necessary for spiritual advancement. And the property of Bina that comes later comes only from the big struggle that is in him between the spark that is being revealed, the point in the heart, and the desire to receive, which is so big, egotistical, that is truly unwilling and incapable of listening to anyone. To that degree, it is so stiff and hard. Yes.
And beginning with Behamur. By this it becomes evident that if the shepherd did not merit, meaning that his faith that has to be pure, meaning complete faith, he has only partial faith, then as written, the whole people do not merit, meaning that all of his organs are performing actions that are suitable to one that does not have whole faith, and they are punished over him, meaning that they themselves are not at fault at the time that they have thoughts and desires that are not suitable to one who has faith. This means that if in their shepherd there was whole faith, then the organs would be listening to him, and they would have thoughts and desires of the righteous. And therefore, they suffer over him, meaning because he does not have whole faith. Therefore, such thoughts are born from this shepherd. Therefore, when a person wants to go on the path of truth, he should not say that he has worse qualities than others or a smaller mind than others, meaning he must not exempt himself from the work because he is weak in character or doesn't have many talents. Rather, all the difficulty in the thing is only out of lack of faith. Therefore, a person has to give all of his work and to perform actions in order to acquire faith in the Creator, that only that gives everything.
But it's a special force that holds a person together with all the problems, the sufferings, the stresses, the inner clashes, and with that, he is in chafetz chesed, in desire to for grace and mercy. It's not that it makes his life easy, rather it holds him above all the burden in his life, the heaviness in his life. And that it doesn't solve the problems that he sees inside his donkey, and then he just becomes free like that. Like living in a forest and, how should we say, it's not the form of Chafetz Chesed that we are depicting to ourselves, imagining to ourselves. Rather, again, every spiritual degree comes to be built upon the unsolved physical forms, which without which one would not be able find it necessary to rise above and build it spiritually. From a lack of choice, he must build the Chafetz Chesed inside of him, because otherwise he cannot live, on one hand. And on the other hand, due to a lack of choice, he must have Chafetz Chesed, because otherwise he will never bring contentment to the Creator. Between these two discernments, what for I need this? Do I need this? This advancement, the spiritual life? This is where his choice is, actually. Yes, Rui.
Can you explain what does it mean that a person has to have Chafetz Chesed?
He chooses this. Maybe you want Chafetz Chesed, go for a trip in the forest like that with a flower, so you'll feel it good, you know. Smell, Chafetz Chesed. Or you cannot stand this pain that you have right now, and you simply want to be Chafetz Chesed, to receive everything in a nice way. Everything is good. There's nothing else besides him. Everything is good, beautiful. Why not? I didn't suffer and so forth. Meaning I want to be Chafetz Chesed. Like that, with my hand on my belly, like that. Or you want to be delighted in mercy, because this is an exalted degree which gives you the possibility, although you have all the uncomfortable feelings in the desire to receive, to be above them in bestowal. And therefore, you can appreciate bestowal upon reception. It's a little difficult to explain this, but it's really the beginning of Chafetz Chesed, of delighted in mercy. Yes.
How is Chafetz Chesed coping with the situation that the Creator is sending you, not running away, escaping it, as you said now, not running away from the situation that the Creator is sending you?
You're not the landlord on that. You're not the owner of that. To advance correctly, to advance correctly, one advances with the help of the instructor and the guide and the environment. Without that, he cannot define himself. We'll continue.
And because of that, when a person studies the Torah, when he engages in the mitzvot, the precepts, or when he engages in the prayer, he has to focus his thoughts that he wants a reward for all of his good deeds, that the Creator will give him whole faith. And this is as written in the prayer of Rabbi Elimelech, a prayer before the prayer, as follows: and you shall set your faith in our hearts constantly, and may your faith be tied to our heart as a stake that will not waver. And this is as he says, because the shepherd of the people is truly the entire people. And in order to reach whole faith, they said, one who comes to purify is being aided. And the reason is, as known, that since regarding faith you have to receive aid from the Creator, and there is a rule that there is no light without the kli, the vessel, meaning that you cannot give a fulfillment in a place where there is no lack, called a need, which is called a kli, a vessel. As he says, there is no light without the kli. And in order to reach the feeling of the need for faith, A person has to first depict to himself what profits he can gain through faith and what he's losing by having only partial faith. First, he has to depict for himself the purpose of creation, meaning for what purpose did the Creator create creation. And after that, he has to believe in the faith of the sages, that they said that the purpose of creation is in order to benefit his creations. And when a person begins to look at creation in his eyes, meaning what form of the good who does good he sees that the creatures are receiving from him, what then appears to a person? Something that is opposite. That he sees that the whole world is suffering, and it is hard to find a person who can say that he feels and sees how his providence is as one who is good and does good. And in that state, when one sees a dark world, and he wants to believe in the Creator, to believe that the Creator is conducts himself with the world with individual providence as good and does good, he remains standing on this point, and all kinds of alien thoughts then fall into his mind. And then he has to overcome above reason that the upper providence is as good who does good. Then he receives the need for the Creator to give him the force of faith. So he'll have the strength to go above reason and to justify the upper providence.
But not to cancel reason. That he sees what he feels, what he understands, what's happening. His regular impression in his kilim. So there, It's a horrible picture. And he needs to come to a state that above reason, meaning with this reason, he understands that it's all good and benevolent, and he feels that it's good and benevolent. So he feels bad inside his reason, and how with that does he feel good and benevolent, which is above reason? How is it possible at once?
And then he can understand what is divinity in the dust. For he then sees how, instead of needing to do something for the sake of heavens and not for his own benefit, immediately the body comes and asks with the complaint of, what is this work for you? And does not want to give force for the work, which is called divinity in the dust. Meaning, for the benefit of divinity, what he wants to do, he tastes in that the taste of dust, and he does not have the force to overcome his thoughts and desires.
Usually, when we hear interpretations and explanations about the Exodus from Egypt, we hear it was very bad for us there, and then we ran away from that bad and we came to the good life. It's all in the most superficial manner, in the will to receive, simply like that, like children. We were slaves, and now we're free. Well, it's true. In the desire to receive, it's the simple explanation. That's how it works. But we have to understand that we are advancing in two planes, reason and above reason. And within reason, what is being revealed? We can't exit Egypt. Egypt becomes more and more difficult within reason. And therefore, above it, we can always rise in above reason. That's the spiritual exit from Egypt. And therefore we say about every mitzvah, we say in the memory of the exit from Egypt. One must feel like today he exited Egypt, and so on. Meaning within reason, we will always feel, well, until the final correction, I don't know what discernments will happen there and what happens there. But we will always feel how reason and above reason are opposite things, not just distance. And in the distance between them, we define our reality, ha'adam. We can already talk about a new discernment, a spiritual discernment, the place for spiritual life. Yes.
There is this area, this something that connects between the fire and the fuel, which is neither the fuel nor the fire. This middle line that connects these two opposite extremes. This is actually the true I, the man, the human.
The matter which exists is the same matter. Whoever said that the oil was lit or the matter that was lit, it's the same matter. The problem is, this is what we say in the part before the Shabbat ceremony. What do we light it with? There's a part from the Gemara that speaks of it. With what do we light the candle for Shabbat? With what we can we and what can we not? There you have a variety of discernments with which... that you can bring to the Kli. This is what we say in Shabbat before the relighting of the candle. You're also saying a piece from the Zohar, I'm hoping? Oh, wonderful. So, what do you want to say?
There is something that connects between Pharaoh, between the matter, and between the faith, work above reason. There is some... As there is...
We will hear it maybe from the article.
Second column down below. And then a person comes to the recognition that he doesn't lack anything for him to have the force to work other than for the Creator to give him the force of faith. Like in the prayer of Rabbi Elimelech, that we have to pray and do set your faith in our hearts forever, constantly. For in this state, he comes to the realization that if the Creator doesn't help him, he cannot do anything. And with this, we should interpret what our sages said, that every person who has the fear of God, his words are heard. As it is said that in the end, everything is heard, and you should fear the Lord. And in simplicity, it is hard to understand this, for there were many prophets and righteous and the greatest of the world, and why were their words not heard? Rather, Israel remained in the same state that they had, and did not want to hear the voice of those who reproached them. And on the way of the pshat, the literal explanation, certainly there are many excuses for that. However, in the matters of the work, when we study the entire Torah as a single body, we have to explain this article and say that one who wants his body, meaning all of the organs, which are the thoughts and the desires and the actions, to be all in purity, in sanctity, then the advice for that, meaning that the body will obey whatever he demands of him, is to attain whole faith. And this is called the fear of heavens. And regarding fear, there are many degrees. As he says in the Zohar, as follows, fear, which is the essence, the main thing, is that a man should fear his master because he is the great and the ruler, the essence and the root of all of the worlds, and everything is considered as none before him. The explanation of the things is that there are three manners in the fear of the Lord, and only one of them is considered as true fear. One, that he fears the Creator and keeps his precepts so that his sons would live and he would be guarded from punishment for his body or his money, meaning fear from punishments in this world. Two, that one is also fearful of the punishments of hell. And those two are not true fear, because one does not keep the fear because of the precept of the Creator, rather due to his own self-benefit. It follows that his self-benefit is the root, and the fear is the branch and is caused by his own benefit. Three, rather fear, which is the main thing, the essence, is that he fears the Creator because he is great and rules everything. He is great because he is the root from which all the worlds extend. And by this it comes out that the main thing in the fear of the heavens is to believe in the greatness of the Creator, since the greatness and importance of the Creator is the reason that compels one to keep the Torah and Mitzvot and not his own benefit. And this is, as he says there, that he should put his heart and his cravings in that place which is called fear, that he would cleave through his fear to the Creator in desire and yearning that is suitable and worthy of the King's precept. And at a time that one merits such faith, meaning that the greatness of the Creator would be felt in his heart, then the body and all the organs, meaning the desires and thoughts and actions, cancel before the King as a candle before the torch.
That's scrutinized? Yes?
So the part that wasn't clear to me, never was clear, is that in order to reach complete faith, they said that one who comes to be purified is being aided.
No. Read it well again.
It says here that in order to reach complete faith, it is written that one who comes to be aided is being aided. How am I being aided? It sounds to be the opposite.
In a divine soul it is written.
How am I being aided?
With the upper force. Faith is the upper force. You don't have from within you the property of Bina. You're a desire to receive. That's it. And accordingly you behave. Without choice, without any free action on your behalf.
I say that when you hear such a thing, that you're going to be aided in everything, and everything you're being aided in life, then you should feel that you're being helped, that you're being led, you're being aided.
But yes, and?
Here I think we feel the opposite. We keep getting blows, additional blows, and I help you actually in the opposite way. So how exactly does that help me reach bestowal?
Look, we spoke about this just now, all these hours of this lesson. Why do you identify with the blows that are passing upon you? They're passing upon the hater inside of you. And not upon you. I understand that it's difficult still to differentiate. But from a lack of choice, what can you do? God forbid, one that has a problem with a growth that is devouring him, is threatening him. He needs to go through radiation now or some other treatments in order to destroy this growth. So he suffers. But with that, he understands that with that he is going to heal. To heal. And sometimes he pays a lot of money in order to come to health, to reach health. And the pain, certainly, there, of course, there's pain. But if you identify with that bad that's inside of you, that is going through the blows, so that you will be able to disconnect from it, then you're thankful for the blows. Otherwise, you have no choice. You will never be able to leave it.
No.
Well,
this sentence that one who comes to be purified is being aided, this is a continuation, that's half a sentence. And one who wants to be defiled, he's being defiled. So it's not clear. It says here that regarding faith, you need to receive help from the Creator. What kind of help does he give me? That I'm constantly poor, miserable? Is that the kind of help he gives me? Or the friends? How exactly does he help me?
He assists you in giving you a new quality to live, to exist above the bad, above the evil, so that you will feel that you can control this evil, rule this evil.
Right now, I feel bad. So how does he help you on the path? Thank you very much. The following bestowal, following the barrier, I feel good. But what then? And what now? What until I cross the barrier? Now, how does he help me?
He's helping you by adding you bad.
Oh, thank you very much.
Otherwise, how will you want to leave the bad? Sir, listen. With your mind, disconnected from your... from your feelings that you want to just blame someone, disconnect and start thinking for the sake of correction. What for are you given the bad? To feel that you're sick, you can rise above this bad so that you will ask for the remedy. So what? You rather remain in this to give you some kind of a calming agent and something against the pains, and that's it? Or would you rather heal? I don't grasp that. It's what kind of smallness is to think in such a way? There comes a time where one needs to already, be more mature, be an adult, and to understand that without the sufferings, without the problems, without being spinned in such a way, he's incapable of rising above them. So what do we do? I'm asking you, what to do? To keep him that way? So he'll end his life? Or to give him, anyways, some kind of sufferings? He'll wake up and rise up. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the upper life instead of the life of an animal that are short and beastly. What are you leaving? What are you worried? And anyways, what problems, what sufferings, what are we talking about? This is not yet soul devotion yet. You wait. Yes?
The help is by, I think, to continue. You said don't grab onto the blows, but on the other hand, just I want to give you the sensation that his help would be that he would also let you understand, that you'll have an understanding on the path. And sometimes we lose that awareness, that understanding even, that the blows are, let's say, in order to help you. We don't have that realization. Oftentimes we fall from that. We forget completely.
It's true. In order to build a kli, you need to be given a little bit of an understanding where there's no understanding, and a little bit more, and again, there is none. And then through those little tastes for periods of time, then you start to ask for it and to yearn for it. If you're given immediately everything, you won't appreciate it at all. In the light of your ensof, anyways, you would feel only nefesh to nefesh. You're incapable of any more than that. There's no deficiency. This is what we learned yesterday. What is difficulty called in the corporeal level. It's that one is all the time in getting closeness and distancing, and closeness and distancing, a certain flirt with the Creator, until he has to have it.
So this continuation sentence is not mentioned here, that he'll also defile you. So this part, that if you come out of the path, you're being defiled, he frees you. So here he gives you the impurity, as if, impurity, by releasing me. Thank you, that's okay, don't learn, you know, just die, you'll come back in a few lives, few incarnations. Does he help us by actually giving us the blows and...
Of course, the nation of Israel, as they're escaping from Babylon and are coming to Canaan, and are coming through all kinds of problems and suffering and trouble, what for do we need to put them into Egypt? Who does like that with his children? Of course, it's a great act of mercy to take his whole kids and put them through all of this, and to know that it's impossible without the desire to receive, without going into Egypt, they cannot advance. It's small. They need a much greater will to receive, and this is why they're brought to Egypt. They don't move from place to place. For you to sit in one place, you can go through the whole spiritual path, but inside, for all these states have to change. And that's it. Without blows that you will receive, the 10 blows on your will to receive, you will not want to escape it from this desire, from this Pharaoh. Then he is willing to release the Adam, the person, the human. Who's willing? Who, my stomach? My belly? I see that's it. Until I feel what blows I'm receiving from my ego, from this Pharaoh, I can't leave it. I'm incapable.
You can say, you know, in your life, when you live life, you get a blow and a little bit of caressing, another blow and a bit of caressing. So what's the problem here? That in the blows, they come successively, there are no breaks.
Where? You have breaks?
No, you don't have breaks. You just get a blow after a blow after a blow, and it tears you completely. Why doesn't he give you, you know, a blow and then caresses you a little bit, and another one?
First of all, until he finishes you completely, that's not true. Not almost. Until you run away from him. But not any other way. He has a purpose, a goal, and everything's inside the Rishimot, and you need to simply implement them. Okay. We finished the article. Yes, Benzi.
We spoke about leaving the donkey and the corporeal forms unresolved. What does it mean in terms of the group to let go, leave the donkey? Exit the donkey.
In terms of the group, to leave the donkey is called that we more or less all who's in the group. Group is not just that are sitting here by the tables and by the books. Group is something more internal, that if you would do some slice on it, you would see there are some that are and some that are not so much, and maybe some that are the opposite, maybe. It's not physically that we define who's the group. So The group is from their understanding, from their inner decision, their ability to overcome with help, with mutual help, come to a state that they decide within them, both in their collective feeling and mind, that they must rise above their egotistical calculations and to exit that way from Egypt, to rise above it, above the ego. This is called the exit.
We speak of connection. Are we always speaking about the connection between plus and minus, between two opposite things?
First of all, we need to connect all our points in the heart. Not to jump. First of all, we connect all our inclinations to rise. Later, we already work with the will to receive itself. Right now, we need to first build something that's above it, that's above the will to receive.
What connection are we talking about then? We talked about it a lot in Passover, so...
Each of us has an inclination, a tendency to exit the states he's in. We have to scrutinize what we're living for, from what state, to what state we're going to be going to. Is that next state, is it going to be a state that I'm feeling good, or is it a state that I'm yearning to bring contentment to the Creator? If it's contentment to the Creator, then it's from connection between us. If the connection between us, then it's important to me what's in my will to receive, or is it important to me what He feels for me, and so on. There are calculations here. And these are things that we have to discuss and scrutinize and to build the right kli. Yes, Itzik.
How practically to build the spiritual degree? What to do? To think, to do? I mean, practically.
Building a spiritual degree, for that, a person needs every moment that he understands what he's feeling in his regular calculations in Kilim, and with that, he builds his scrutiny both in mind and his feelings in a degree above that, that the Creator rules, that everything's from Him, that He gave it to me so that I will identify with His uniqueness, there's none else besides Him, and not that in doing this I shut down what's inside of me or blur it. No, I remain in such a split and I'm willing to work in it and exist in it. And this is a person's work. This is a human's work.
Can the group build the next degree, or is that individual work, personal work?
A group can build the next degree, of course. Other than the group, who will build it? Or is it a private work of a person? Also, a person that does it privately is doing it with the help of the group. There are stages. Sometimes there are stages that he doesn't realize that he's under their influence. Otherwise, he wouldn't make even the smallest step forward. Whoever is not in a group cannot go through any step, even not the preparation for the preparation.
How to intensify the nullification towards the upper one? How to reach extra or additional nullification towards the upper one?
By one nullifying to the friends, the teacher, the study, Through this, he prepares himself to nullify himself before the upper, before the Creator. That too is upper towards him, for him. Also, the group, the teacher, and the study is towards him, the upper. Yes, next.
Why are men sleeping in the lesson, and how could the women help with that?
The women need to make sure to put the men to sleep at least at 9 o'clock at night, and then they won't fall asleep in the lesson. That's one thing. The second thing, yeah, there's times for this and there's time for that. Today we are in a certain special period, a special state, after, as usual, after Pesach, after events, and therefore there's times, different times, and other than that, there's the time after Pesach, which is called the count of the Omer, the Sfirat HaOmer, which is the time of smallness. And we know that in this spiritual process, which also has a root in corporeality and physicality, so we can also give that as a certain excuse. I want to, you know, protect the men a little bit. Yes?
Orit, my wife, says that the women in the Petah Tikva group don't have many opportunities to ask questions because when they come, usually the priority is for the guests. And she's asking if they can send questions through their husbands.
Not to the husbands, to the husbands, to one person who gathers the questions, and we can answer the questions in concentrated way. We don't want each husband as a representative of his wife. We don't want to know which woman is asking. But, of course, we respect their questions. And to answer, yes. So, pass the questions anonymously to a representative. And he will read them to us. And we will answer them. We're already coming close to the end of the lesson. So, no, we don't have time more for questions, and so let's hope that what we studied today, we will start to implement it, because these are already clear and right steps that truly stabilize us towards rising above the Pharaoh that's in us. Please.
And in conclusion, let's sing together.
Once a wise man said, I wonder if we could unite humanity into a single man with one and one body. I'll cover him with love. It's the only thing we must learn. 'Cause we came from one point into this point we will return.